So good morning. We'll turn now to the reenactment. It says Bayom Hazeh. We should feel that it's happening in our time. When Am Yisrael received the Torah at Sinai, so in chapter 19 of Shemot, we're up to verse 5 and 6. Now, if any of you have here the Ramban, and you want to follow it in Hebrew, you'll find it in, it's also here on the table, because of the girders. But I'll say it in Hebrew, and one of you can read the translation in English. Ramban.
Is it better than that?
Can you see the few volumes here?
There's some
of Ramban's commentary in English.
There's no
name. Huh?
Yeah,
it's
a
good
copy.
It's all Rashi. Rashi, we did it. No,
Ramban. Okay. Exodus.
Yes. Any more like that? It should be fine. So in verse 5, it says, "Va'atayim shamoa tishmu v'koli," if you will listen to my voice and observe my covenant, "Itim l'sikula mikol amim," you will be for me a treasure.
You want this?
From amongst all the nations, "Kili kol ha'aretz," because the whole earth has to come to me. So the Ramban says, you all got the Pesuk, have you done Pesuk?
Yes,
thank you. Chapter 19, verse 5. What is a Segula? Kedava Nechmat. Like a desirable, precious object. The king will not put it in the hands of anyone, except if you can trust him entirely. Kemo it says, "Gulat melachim ba'medinot, mention kehelet," the treasured, protected object of the kings and of the big states. Tzuk kehelet. As if keli kol haaretz ketam asher chalak Hashem otam lechol ha'amim. This is to be understood in connection with what it says in Devarim, that Hashem has given the nations of the world over to His messengers, to look after, the Sarim, Sarei Umot, mentioned frequently in the prophetic visions, the princes of the nations. But Am Yisrael betchem lakach Hashem, but Hashem took you as His particular people. And this goes together with what it says in previous, in other verses later, I'm separating you from the nations to belong unto me. This goes together with the concept that Ein Mazal Yisrael. Though we wish people Mazel Tov, and maybe a Mazel Yisrael sometimes means a Jew doesn't always have good luck in many instances, but that's not the Pshat. The Pshat is the opposite. The Pshat is like Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, when he and his wife were at an age when they couldn't have children, and Hashem had promised that through Abraham would come a new movement in the whole world, through his seed. And he couldn't have children anymore. His wife couldn't. I mean, he maybe could still have done, but he felt the blessing was for him and his wife. It says, I mean, it's meaning of stuff. So, Hashem says, he showed him the stars, and he says, Koi Yisrael, thus will be your seed. So the sages say, he lifted him up above the stars. The nations of the world, many of them, they believe in astrology. And there are two approaches to the mention of astrology in the Torah. There's one approach that says astrology is superstition. And Hashem asks us to keep away from listening to astrologers. We shouldn't follow that. Now, if it's superstition, so why are there so many mentions made in the Tanakh concerning the power of the stars, apparently? So they say these are all images, because people believe in them. This is the opinion of the Rambam, whose authority I would say is equivalent to, I mean, the greatest one of his generation, certainly, and equivalent to many of the greats together in previous and later generations. However, there is another view. I mean, it also says, for example, the Gemara goes so far as to say that the person born in Mars, he'll be a very volatile and an aggressive personality. Mars, the red, symbolizes the dedication to bloody battles. That's when Esau was born, it was Urad Moni, totally red. Esau for Edom. And the name Edom means redness. But we shouldn't think this means this person's going to be evil if he's born in Mars. Sages say, either he'll be a shochet, or a mohel, or a surgeon, and if he doesn't find an outlet in the paths of the Torah, then there's a danger he'll become a murderer, and a hijacker, a robber. And we find that to be true also with regard to one of the greatest personality of Am Yisrael, David HaMelech, was also called Admoni. David HaMelech was also red, but he used his aggressiveness really for good purposes, to be very strong in his love of Hashem, transformed into a high level of aggressiveness in love of Hashem, love of mankind. But this gave him the possibility to defend the people of Israel from Goliath and other dangerous enemies. But although he was very much beloved by Hashem, as even the name David implies, but he could not build the Beit HaMikdash. That had to be done by someone who has no blood on his hands. Even if the whole blood is used for good purposes. So therefore, you can say that all these matters are questions of different types of constitutions that people have. Does not necessarily mean, literally, you've got to be born under the horoscope of Mars. So therefore we say like this, in the Tanakh, it says clearly, Hashem says, in the verse which the Rambam quotes here, Hashem has given princes to rule the nations, which are expressed, could be expressed in terms of stars, in terms of different messengers of Hashem. But Am Yisrael is directed in a direct fashion by the Creator. That's the concept of Segula. He doesn't want to give it over to anybody else. So it's Sukula here, it's this special quality of the people of Israel who cling to Hashem. So the further remarks of the Ramban, I don't know how does he translate here, the Segula, the Ramban, the English Segula. Translation?
It says
treasure.
Yeah. Treasure.
Yes.
But then he says further, Segula means the Vikut, means that which clings entirely to Hashem. It says, Kli ha'aretz anikrit kol. Now it says, Hashem berachet Avram bakol. You have that also? Translate first verses. It says, Hashem blessed Avram in everything.
Yeah.
What does it mean in everything? So the Ramban's interpretation is, he's given him the highest level of closeness to Hashem. So this is the concept, that the earth is close to Hashem. And then it's Atem Tiyu Li, Shetiyu Atem Li, in verse 6, Atem Tiyu Li Mamlech HaKol, you should be unto me a kingdom of priests. Shetiyu Atem Li B'Yichud, Lo Kishar Amin, you should be specially close to me, not like the other nations. So the Mechilta also says, Mechilta is a Tanaitic commentary on Chumash, at Kevayachol, Eini Mame Ve'eini Mashir Alechem Elo Ani. The only ruler I'm putting over you is myself. This is similar to the verse, Hine Lo Yilum Lo Yishon Shom Yisrael. Hashem is the one who guards the people of Israel. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. He has constant, special providence over the people of Israel. So this means also that we should interpret events which are acts of God, so they're described sometimes in common literature, which is the recognition that there are things which are to some extent beyond the understanding and even the scientific assessment of the human being, called acts of God. So certainly we should recognize the acts that are made by God over the people of Israel. I think we've seen, we can apply this to our time, certainly applies to the ancient times, the time of the giving of the Torah. That's why he offered the Torah to the people of Israel. He offered also to the other nations. But they even had the choice to join in, even to become part of Am Yisrael until this time of the giving of the Torah. But the special care that Hashem takes of Am Yisrael is apparent also, especially in the history of our nation, both how difficult to understand why the Jewish people were scattered all over the world, but it's written in the Torah. It's part of God's plan. One plan is, it's to teach us that the whole world belongs to Hashem. And also, to be able to fulfill our task to be kingdom priests to the other nations. So this way, they can find out more about Hashem. But the sages say, Hashem did an act of charity to Am Yisrael and also the nations of the world when he scattered Jews all over so that the Gentiles could gradually learn more about the Torah. And ultimately, it'll bring them to accept it. But especially when we're in the land of Israel, we see divine providence in a more direct fashion, constantly. Then he says in verse 6, it says, you should be unto me, King, Priest, and Holy Nation. These are the words you give over to Israel. Now you know there's a if you want to get recognition, from the government. This is, I don't know how far it's the rule here as well. In America, they call it a mission statement. American authorities demand a mission statement. Every organization wants recognition. So we can say this verse is the Jewish mission statement. That's why I said you have to speak this out, declare all this, the day is wrong. But you can see it's a mission statement that's put forward not as a commandment at this stage. It's a choice. It says, you want to accept it? Fine. If you don't want to accept it, I mean, you're in for trouble, but still, up to you. It means probably you won't accept it, as the sages say. Hashem held the mountain over the people of Israel like a barrel. He said, if you will now accept the Torah, fine. If not, you will be buried there. The whole world, in fact, will be turned over to chaos. We can even today say this is, today it's become literal to some extent. It's clear that unless a sufficient part of the world accepts the basic teachings of the Ten Commandments, that apply to them as well, the Noahide Code, then from a natural point of view, Hashem made a covenant. He's not going to allow this to happen. We have covenant after the deluge. But it looks as though that there are large destructive sections of mankind that just wanted it. They don't really want to commit to educate young people to become suicide bombers, to kill themselves, to kill others. But they're preparing the world, Chas v'Shalom, for a total suicide. That's what it's coming to. It's sort of stockpiling of weapons. If now, say, Saudi Arabia, they're now starting also to prepare in order to counterbalance the threat of Iran to take over the whole of the Middle East. So they're preparing also non-conventional energy for so-called peace, but perhaps, unfortunately, peace's purpose, not just this threat. We hope somehow that Hashem will help, as some futurists claim, there'll be such a balance of terror that will stop people causing any form of spark to blow up everything. So, be more careful. But we know that in order to really save the world, we need to fulfill this mission. So, Mamlechet Kohanim, the Rambam says, you've got to be a kingdom made up of the servants of Hashem. And Goy Kadosh is Lodov Kobriel HaKadosh, to cling to God, as the Kadoshim Tiyu. So with this, he has promised them everything in the material world and also in the spiritual world. Do you have any questions?
What's the connection between Rosh Chodesh and the verse where it says Avraham will be blessed with everything? Like after Halal and Rosh Chodesh, it says, say, Avraham Zekim Hashem Berach Avraham Akhil. What's the connection between that and that verse?
Which Rosh Chodesh?
Like on, when you say the half Halal?
Yes.
On Rosh Chodesh, it says at the end, there's a paragraph to say, God blessed Abraham with everything. What's the connection between?
Where does it say that? Show me the seal.
The seal.
Hashem berach et Avraham bach. First time I see this. Most Siddurim, it is in Rosh Chodesh, many people recite this pasuk, Avram Zaken Ba Bayamim, Hashem Berach Et Avram Bakor. What could it be next? Tell you connection. Look at it more closely. If he says he was old, what does he mean, Baba Yamin? Baba Yamin means he went forward in days. So, can any give an explanation of this? It's not a phrase often used, but it's used by Avraham. What do you need to know what the Midrash says on this? Baba Yamin. He came nearer and nearer to perfection day by day. It's connected with the concept of Tfilat HaOmer, and as we count the days, to know every day we've got to try to grow. Every day is given us a new, get up in the morning. It's a new challenge given to us to grow. To grow in doing loving kindness, in learning Torah, and fulfilling the mitzvot. So therefore Abraham did not waste any time. As you can see, his life was filled day by day with meaning. And why is this special for Rosh Chodesh? So why is the first day of the month called Chodesh? Why is the month called Chodesh? The first day is also called. Why is it called Chodesh?
Hadash.
It's to feel, just like Hashem is Mechadesh, He renews creation, he renews energies, he will also renew human energy every day. So, in order to strengthen us, we say the month is called Chodesh because of the renewal of the light of the moon. Chodesh is basically the lunar month. And when Am Yisrael was still in Egypt, they were given the first commandment to count the months according to the moon. It says, HaChodesh Zilachem Rosh Chodashim. And as we say in the Kiddush Levana, is a praise of the power of renewal of the people of Israel based upon the way in which we count time in life as we experience it. There's a constant rhythm of up and down, of activity and time when we can't be active. Time when we can use all our limbs properly, other times more difficult. That's why we need to replenish ourselves constantly with food. A person doesn't eat or drink for a few days, then he withers away. Therefore he needs to have his regularity of meals and his diet in order that his body can work. He needs to have the rhythm of activity and rest, sleep and being awake. So this is the rhythm of life. In this rhythm, What's as a nation, we have ups and downs. As individuals, as a nation. And by following the concept of the moon, in fact, what is it that causes people to vegetate or to become depressed? It's when they have the feeling that they're going down, whatever their ambitions are, and they're not successful, and then they despair. So the path of the Torah is never despair. Whenever things go down, it's what we call Yerida Tzorech Aliyah. All the downs in life only to go up. In fact, some say, why is it called Sheina, sleep? Because Sheina also means renewal. The Shanot means to change.
Shinui.
To change, Shinui. But we need to sleep in order, it's also Shane, he's saying, in order to get our energy back again. You had energy yesterday, to get your energy back, you've got to sleep. If you don't sleep enough, then you can't be active, you can't use your energies properly. And therefore, you should look at every deficiency that takes place, even though it means, let's say, the light of the moon, which reflects the light of the sun, is diminishing, but it's only diminishing so that afterwards it can grow again. That's why you can only make Kiddush Levana when the moon is growing. You can't make it anymore. When it's reached its peak, you reach a peak, you know then it goes down. But it only goes down so it'll go up again. So Am Yisrael, at the time when they give this commandment, they were deep down in the dumps. They were enslaved as the lowest caste in Egyptian hierarchy. So Hashem pulled us up. That's why he gave us this mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. Sanctify the renewal. Same applies, let's say, the history of Israel goes ups and downs all the time. Also in the state of Israel. We're given ups and we're given downs, we're given difficulties. So, but from all the difficulties we have to learn to renew ourselves. See, here on this on these streets, as you know, Hanov had a terrible blow from the Muslims who appeared friendly, and then they murdered in a terrible fashion and wounded people down the road. In fact, they came past our yeshiva as well. There weren't enough people davening there for them to attack us in the first time. Well, you all know where the whole of Hanof is in Avilut. What happened here on this street? Didn't happen. This happening. They can say that this is as bad as the happening in Paris. I mean, terrible. And from whom? Mainly from Muslims who are working for Jews. You know, they kept it hidden that they were. And today, what today, there's a threat that the Daesh are making pockets all over Israel as well. They do it in hiding. It's the Israeli Arabs. So, a difficult situation. But Hashem also helps us, Hashem, and He gives us great blessings. What came out? I want to tell you what came out from this, from this terrible situation. The widows, you know, one of the orphans who doesn't see it quite regularly in front of the home, since his culture is followed. Now, what came out? The widows. They made an appeal together that we will have to renew ourselves and reach a higher level of love for every Jew. And to spread love and make sure we don't have any splits, any machloket in our whole area. We should try to work for unity and for love. So this is life. life has its ups and downs. Abraham Avinu was bowed by him every day, used for this purpose, to raise himself up. And maybe this is the message of Rosh Chodesh. If you Rosh Chodesh works on it, okay. You work every day, but for the nation, you can say changes are not so much expected for the whole nation day by day, but they're expected month by month, which is part of our calendar, our special calendar. So we celebrate Rosh Chodesh with Hallel, that Hashem should praise all of us, should Hashem should help all of us, if we will thank Him for all His goodness. Although we have been Amitzah, although we have troubles, but Hashem, through these prayers, answers our troubles. Through us saying the prayer on Hashem Mashiach Nebetzibor in the community, we feel ourselves part of the Jewish community, and we're looking forward to the time when, as it says in the Hallel, which we recite, even if Hashem brings us almost to death, Yaso Yisraniko, He gives great suffering, but lo amut. In the end, He brings us to life. And even though our end, we can apply this today, because if you look in the Hallel, we say it's always good to trust Hashem, because even if all the nations around us want to destroy us, but in the name of Hashem, we're able to cut them off. Even if they won't destroy us like the bees, say, the name of Hashem will cut us off. So to apply this to our time, why like the bees? Bees not so destructive. I think you would smoke out bees. Just get a bit of smoke, and the bees that want to attack a person, they flee away. So why is this metaphor used? Because this referred to the wars of Gog and Magog, where the nations of the world want to destroy the Jews, and they begin to behave like bees, who when they sting, they die. That means when we're surrounded by suicide bombers, people who don't care, even then we say, Shem Hashem Kamilam, cut them off. What does Shem Hashem mean? Let's follow the path of Avraham and learn to use each day that we have and each chodesh that we have to serve Hashem like He did. Hashem Berachat Avraham Bakol means He gave him the quality of Dveikut, being very close to Hashem. Then, why don't we read the next verse in the Chumash, the Hebrew, verse 7. Who wants to read the Hebrew?
Yevo Moshe v'yikra v'zanechei ha'am v'shem v'zanechei et ha'kol v'dvarim ha'eli asher tzeva Hashem.
In English?
In English? Yes. And Moshe came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all the words which the Eternal and commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Eternal has spoke, we will do.
Say that verse 8 in Hebrew. Just said in English. Say it also in Hebrew.
8?
Yes, 8.
8?
Mm-hmm. Verse 8 in Hebrew.
V'yaynu akol ha'am, v'yachadu, v'yomadu, akol, Asher Dover Hashem Ben Afe Yosef Moshe Et Yivarei Ha'am El Hashem.
So this is a very important verse that the people, I mean, they were given the choice, but they, what was the answer? All the people together said, everything that Hashem has said, we will do. So these verses, the Ramban says, the deep explanation says, look, I'm giving you over these words, I'm going to give them to you, choose for yourselves if you're going to fulfill them. That's why they answered right away, everything Hashem has said, we're going to do. This can be compared to the verse in Devarim, see, I've set before you today, life and that which is good, death and that which is evil. And also introducing the judgments, the Torah says, these are the judgments you set in front of them. Put it in front always means the option is yours. It's the principle of freedom. That the people, and the option is yours, but it's the Creator saying to us, it will be well for you if you choose it. That's why in the next chapter it says again that Moshe told the people all the words of Hashem and all the judgments. This was after the giving of the Ten Commandments and other judgments. Then it uses the word Vayan, the whole people answered with one voice, and it said, all the words which Hashem has spoken, we will do. Also, which verse do we say when the Torah is lifted up? Yes, this is the Torah which Moshe placed in front of the Bnei Israel. This was said to the next generation. Came to make a covenant with them on the plains of Moab, like their forefathers had made in Horeb. So this is the concept of Lifneihem. From here we should also learn the following. In fact, there's a whole psychological theory developed today in relationships between parents, children, and all areas of life. Counseling people, it's always good. A person should be given an option. Now you say there's only one way, there's not only one way. You've got an option. A person has to learn to take responsibility for his life. Therefore, you want to say to a child, you know, you're not allowed to do it. Don't say to them, you're not allowed to do it because I said so. Of course, it depends on which age. Not saying surprising in all instances, but the general approach should be, you know, you've got an option. A child, let's say, misbehaves terribly, say, look, you've got an option. The option is to not speak in that fashion, speaking, shouting, and so on, screaming. You've got an option. You can do your screaming, but you have to do it outside in the yard, not here. Go in the yard. Do it in the yard. If that's what you want to do, do it in the yard. Don't do it in here. It's easier for the child to accept that when the child is told, you mustn't do it because I said so. So give them some form of option. Before you speak about penalties, not really penalties, scream like that you can do outside, not in the house. So Hashem says, you want to be a king or a priest, the holy nation? So, I leave it to you to decide. If not, I mean, this implies even, Hashem might choose somebody else, as in fact he did. When they rebelled at the golden calf, so Hashem said, I'm giving up the people. I'm going to make new people just from you, Moshe Rabbeinu. So he gave the people the option also. You know, if you're not, so put the people, this affected the people as well. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm not accepting, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not accepting to be the replacement. There's no people in Israel, I want to be rubbed out from your book. I have no significance. But here, in any case, all the people adopted it positively. Now it brings here the Ramban, the whole people together, because Moshe called all the elders and their judges, and he set before them all these words in the presence of the whole community. For all of them, he said, the previous mission statement. And the people did not wait even to think the matter over and to choose. Straight away they said, Mikaton al Gadol, immediately when they heard it, they said, Kol Echad, we want to fulfill it. This was the great power of choice of Am Yisrael at the giving of the Torah. So there is hope that also in our time more and more of the people will choose the path of the Torah. Any more questions? Yes.
On speech and communication.
Yeah.
Hashem speaks to Abraham, Moses, Aaron, other people. And now he's speaking to a multitude, hundreds of thousands. Who will be?
Yeah.
People are human, they have ears. I wonder exactly are these sounds, are there words, in what language is it spoken, for a person to be able to hear, process through the brain, and understand. Are they sounds? Are they words? Are they Hebrew language? What exactly is the method of communication?
Well, it's a good question, but I have to postpone the answer to the next year.
Watch the space.
Huh?
As I say in the classics, watch the space.
At 12 o'clock I'll begin with Shir, a type of comprehensive approach to the inner depth of counting the Omer. Quite a lot of things we discussed in the Shiurim, but I'm going to try to make it as one comprehensive Shir, both from basic halachot to the deep spiritual significance.